FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 10-8-18, which could have numerological aspects to it, but maybe not. Well, if you add a 10 and 8, and you add the numbers together, you get 9, and 1 and 8 is 9, and you add 9 and 9 together, you get 18, which is 9. And I don't know what that means, but it must mean something because it wouldn't do it otherwise. Anyways, hey, as always, if you got an idea on numerology here, somebody who knows something about it, I would really like to talk to you about it. I've studied it and I just don't get it. So the email address, even if it's on something else, so you can be a part of the show, is kl@carrielutz.com. And if you're a troll, troll away. Love getting those troll emails because that means I live in your head. Hey, so speaking of living in your head, well, Trump is in everyone's head, and recent victory managing to do the impossible, the seemingly impossible, was getting our good colleague, and having been an attorney, well, I was never a judge, but a fellow attorney and judge, Brett Kavanaugh, through that minefield of Democratic sniping and ambush. Well, they call it the wrap-up smear. We'll talk about that more. Our good friend is with us now, Frank V. Vernuccio Jr., J.D. Frank, welcome back.
Terry, it's great to be with you again.
Hey, as always. So you look at that. Now, there's a YouTube of none other than Nancy Pelosi talking about this thing called the wrap-up smear. Don't know if you caught it, but it's exactly what they've done to Trump, exactly what they did to Kavanaugh. And what's the wrap-up smear? Is false allegations get made or false statements about a person. And I believe every single one of those statements about Kavanaugh, except that he liked beer and he threw ice in his in his wild youth, were probably false. I mean, 99% sure. So they get somebody to make the statements, then they get the media to report on it, so it becomes fake news, and then they merchandise it or market it as Nancy, not too bright and not too lucid and probably on the edge of dementia, early stages or maybe later stages. You know, with somebody who's nuts, it's hard to know if they're crazy or they're demented or both. And I'm not casting aspersions upon the mentally challenged here. My heart goes out to them, but don't let them, you know, just like you wouldn't want a dyslexic tattoo artist and you wouldn't want a dyslexic air traffic controller, you don't want a demented person running the House of Representatives. But that's a story for another day. Hey, Frank, I mean, pretty amazing, the wrap-up smear. So they market it afterwards, get it out on all the channels, and then it becomes true, and it's impossible for the target of the smear to really fight back.
That's right, Kerry. You know, I was on a radio show in California the other day, and the host, who is not too liberal, but not too conservative, said, well, what do you think of those of Kavanaugh? Don't you think he's damaged goods? And I said to the fellow, I have information that 30 years ago, you, sir, were at the Port of Los Angeles giving away vital American secrets to a red Chinese spy. And he kind of was startled. He said, what? And I said, well, that's exactly the point. Obviously, and a totally absurd allegation. But if we were on a major network show, the headline tomorrow would be allegation made against radio host as a Chinese spy. And I said, how unfair would that be? Unfair to the country, unfair to the truth, and especially unfair to you. I said, isn't that exactly what we've done with Kavanaugh? And the fellow kind of chuckled and he goes, I've got to concede that point to you. Yeah. And that's exactly the pattern that we've seen followed. And indeed, Kerry, it is a pattern. We saw ridiculous allegations made against the president. 2 years, huge investigation, all the resources of the taxpayers could provide to the Mueller investigation. Turns out there's absolutely absolutely nothing to it whatsoever against President Trump. Now we're seeing the exact same Democrat tactic used against Brett Kavanaugh. Big investigation. He has undergone 7 FBI investigations. Nothing ever turned up to be a problem, but the allegation is out there. And you have people like Cory Booker and others saying, well, it doesn't really matter whether the allegations are true or not. He's damaged goods. We shouldn't have him on the court. We're establishing such a horrendous precedent with this nonsense. And I think it's clear why this tactic has been taken. Kerry, if you look at the whole list of issues, whether we're talking about the economy, whether we're talking about foreign affairs, the 8 years in which the left ran the country were an absolute disaster. They've got nothing really that they can run on. So they've got to make up some reason to run in November, something to excite their base, excite the public as a whole, and especially excite independents. So they come up with these smear campaigns. You know, Trump ate stewed babies in his youth. Yeah. Kavanaugh raped people, engaged in gang rape. This is the type of nonsense that we're seeing. And it's all because, quite bluntly, they've got nothing else to run on.
Yeah, and that's where the fake polling comes in, because in the absence of real news, you put up a fake poll, and all of a sudden, it's like, hey, Trump is losing, the Republicans are losing. The actual truth makes no difference. All public polls, virtually all of them that we hear about, with the exception of one or two, maybe the Rasmussen poll, maybe the Pew Research guys, but everyone else is agenda-driven, generally paid for, funded by the left, like Heart Polls. They used to be a reputable organization. Now they're astroturfers. So the point is, when you got nothing else to run on, you can run on polls. And that's why I've proclaimed October National Lie to Your Pollster Month. So spread the word. No matter what they're asking, just lie, you know? And, you know, it's so easy to manipulate polls. All you have to do is manipulate the question. You know, you ask one like, President Trump was seen kicking a puppy on the White House lawn. Do you believe that President Trump is an animal abuser? Yes or no? And of course, they saw him kicking a puppy. He's a horrible person, right? And that's the kind of garbage that they pull.
Well said. And I had a pollster who worked for me some time ago, and he demonstrated to me how you can have any poll produce exactly the results you want by the way you frame the question. But the history of polling results on key major issues over the past several years has been, quite frankly, disastrous. After all, let's look at the Brexit polls. It was clear that the British people were going to vote in favor of staying in the European Union. That didn't work out so well for the pollsters. And obviously, as we know from all the great actions of President Clinton, that Hillary was definitely going to win the 2016 campaign. That didn't work out so well for the pollsters either. What we've seen is a transformation in the polling concept. Before, polls, at least on the surface, attempted to give an accurate prognostication of what was about to happen. Now we're seeing polls used as a way to encourage a specific result. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people just like to say they voted for a winner. And so when you have a poll that comes out that says, well, obviously Hillary Clinton is going to win, people who might have voted for Donald Trump would have said, nah, why bother going to the polls? The guy's going to lose anyway. The same thing over in the UK. Why vote in favor of Brexit? After all, it's going to lose. Why should I even bother going to the polls? And combined with the dishonesty of the major media, these are things that weigh on the public's mind. It also has a sort of springboard effect as well. People who are asked, you know, do you like, for example, Brett Kavanaugh? And all they've seen in their evening news for the past week or so is, and this goes back a little bit, but is Brett Kavanaugh is a terrible guy who did terrible things to women. Well, people are almost embarrassed to say that they like Brett Kavanaugh. And deep down, they don't believe any of the charges. But hey, they're around some of their coworkers or friends, some of whom might be females. The guys don't want to be seen as being in favor of molesting women, so of course they're going to say they don't like Kavanaugh. That's the way modern polling, unfortunately, Kerry, is working.
Hey, and yeah, it's exactly like when they're polling for Kavanaugh, they say, troubled nominee for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, who's been accused of multiple acts of sexual abuse, would make a good Supreme Court justice, yes or no?
Yes, so
like,
no.
Who in their right mind is going to say yes? You know, so they assume a premise and then they ask a question based on the truth or veracity of their premise. And then they're shocked when they get the response that they want. But the thing is, many of you out there are onto this and you're doing what I said. You're lying to your pollsters. And that's what you should be doing. Lie to your pollster. You got nothing to lose. Just keep lying to them. Okay?
And, you know, it kind of unleashes a discussion of a bigger problem altogether, which is we've seen the combination of the media and Hollywood, for the most part, unleashed as a partisan weapon rather than as a way of having a clear reflection of our society, our culture, our thoughts. When you have the media essentially becoming little more than an offshoot of the Democrat Party, when you have Hollywood and all those late-night idiots, you know, Steve Colbert and a bunch of them, whose entire show is little more than a political commercial for the left.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
You know, folks who don't spend 24 hours a day thinking about politics and just get their impressions from those types of outlets, well, clearly, in the best of conscience, they're saying, well, look, everyone's saying this guy is bad. He must be bad. And that's become a real problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's lies, there's damn lies, and then there's statistics, right? So what are you going to do here? But just lie to your pollster. If they call you, whatever they do, just lie your head off. Do not, I repeat, do not ever tell them the truth, because that just encourages them. So, right?
And, you know, when you talk about lies, you've got to look at what some of our government agencies have been doing. You know, we go back to the Obama administration and the IRS was being used as a weapon against the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch was seriously considering criminally prosecuting anyone who simply disagreed with the president on climate change. Mm-hmm. When you have, you know, these things going on, there's a real lack of trust in our institutions. So I think we're coming to almost a turning point where a good segment of American society has become so disgusted that they're turning off. Now, clearly what they need to do is go to the polls in November. But, you know, you just wonder whether so many folks are turned off from the whole political process that they won't be going at all. And that's a real challenge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A real challenge. So, hey, question for you. Homelessness, all right? You're in New York, and it looks like everything the government's doing is just that Comrade de Blasio is doing is just to help increase the number of homeless people in the city. I mean, there seems to be a real policy of accommodation and appeasement of the homeless to to increase the numbers, to increase the power of these government agencies.
Yeah, you know, part of the problem is I did a study of homelessness a number of years ago, and the real problem with homelessness is not necessarily poverty. A lot of it has to do with mental problems,
exactly.
Emotional problems. And, you know, when you have sort of trying to treat the homeless as though they're making rational decisions, it's a real problem. You're never going to solve homelessness that way. It's not certainly, you know, the cost of apartments in New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco. I mean, that's a terrible thing, and it really is a desperate plight for many middle-class people. But the reality of it is that homelessness itself is a mental issue, and not understanding the mental causes, the mental roots of homelessness, as de Blasio administration has failed to do,
has refused to do,
solve the problem whatsoever.
They've refused to do it. Hey, so that's my whole point. The left wants you to believe that homelessness is an economic crisis, but
yeah, not even close.
The reality is that homelessness is a mental health crisis. And till we start treating it that way and forcibly confine these people, forcibly medicate them, even if they refuse, we're just going to keep getting more and more of them. You know, in Frank, in 1955, there were 550,000 people involuntarily committed. Today, there's somewhere, depending where the statistics are, 45 to 90,000. And the population's doubled. We've had this drug epidemic going on for years and years. You know, I was at my daughter's wedding, and I was talking to my friend, and somehow we got on the topic. And I said, yeah, what do you think of, what should we do about them? She says, we have to lock them up. I said, but wait a second, you're a liberal. You can't believe that. That's not a liberal position. She like, I'm a thinking person. I'm not a liberal, you know? And she got like really, I said, calm down, you know, it's just teasing you. But the fact is, you know, there have to be, you know, the ones who can be helped need to be helped. And the ones who cannot be ever in their lives need to be involuntarily committed in a humane environment where their needs are taken care of. And perhaps
the root problems can be addressed and they can finally be allowed to live life on their own. Now, there certainly is a need for affordable housing space around major cities. But you look at some of the problems of why affordable housing is not available, and then you look at the tax rates in cities like New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles. You look at the laborious process necessary to build a building, the paperwork landlords have to go through, and you realize that one of the biggest problems with affordable housing is the governments that make affordable housing difficult to maintain, difficult to build.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, look, affordable housing is not the cause of all this stuff. You know, what happens is when a neighborhood gets too expensive for people who live there, they don't say, well, this, you know, I can't afford the rent here, I'll just move to the street and live there. That's not what happens. They move to less expensive neighborhoods. Often those neighborhoods are not convenient and takes longer to get to work, and there aren't services there that you might want. But look, you don't just go become homeless because the rent went up, because the rent's too damn high, as that guy said. There are other factors, certainly health, catastrophic health issue, not having family supportive system there to help you are big factors in it, but they are not the major ones. Most people, drug addiction, alcoholism, and severe mental illness, that is the root causes of this issue here. So till we start getting serious about it and doing something. And then, Frank, you know how much it costs to maintain a homeless person on the street on average?
No, I haven't really, don't recall that, at least not in the past 10 years.
Well, in San Francisco, it's close to 40,000. In New York, I think it said it was 33, with emergency room visits, with the police, and all the stuff that goes on, the social workers and, you know, shelters and all that. It costs $35,000 to $40,000 a year. You could easily, institutionalize them for that price, and let's get the government out of it.
Of institutionalization in the sense of having, you know, a mental facility.
Yes.
One of the things that has always been ignored has been the concept of supportive housing. When a supportive housing concept, you have perhaps in one building or a cluster of buildings, you have medical and psychological services available. You have a variety of job placement services available, all within a cluster of buildings or a large building. And you can ease these folks away from the problems that they have while providing supportive services to get them back on their feet, to get them back on track. One of the tragedies and one of the unforgivable tragedies of our country is the concept of having homeless veterans, guys and gals who put their lives on the line for all of us. And some of them come back, and look, they've endured terrible, terrible things. Some of them have PTSD. That's a mental issue that's treatable. It's difficult, but it is treatable. I've seen people treated for it.
Mm-hmm.
To have our veterans come back and because of PTSD to be homeless, that's unforgivable. There's a way of getting those folks cured, getting back on their
Absolutely.
Own lives. But far too often, we see homeless veterans. That's simply not acceptable at all.
I couldn't agree with you more. No, they're definitely an issue, but probably less. But they're important because they got that way defending the country. Country owes them something here to get them out of this mess. And unfortunately, the right embedded by these liberal judges, we get back to Kavanaugh and who he's replacing, is the right to be homeless at the expense of everybody else around you. And you don't have a constitutional right.
There's a whole host of court decisions that exacerbated the homeless problem. If you go all the way back to the 1960s and 1970s and 1980s, where courts talked exactly what you're mentioning, Kerry, the right to be homeless, the right to live on the street. You can't take these people off the sidewalk. Those were terribly wrong decisions.
Awful. Awful. And the concept of that support system, you know, when it works, it's been great. It's very difficult. It's really expensive because you're spreading out the problem and then you're really you're losing economies of scale to deal with it. Very difficult for those to be effective. But the higher functioning ones, for those people, certainly it's worthwhile exploring the option. Unfortunately, for most, you know, long-term, lifetime commitment and supervised commitment, you can't just let these people live on the street because it's a danger to themselves, a danger to all of us. You know, we need new thinking, a new approach for this, because otherwise we just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Hey, Frank, just tell us, where do we find your work and how do we connect with you on the web?
Well, our website is usagovpolicy.com, and we have a new article up there 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. So, and also you can access our radio show and our TV show on that site as well.
Excellent. All right. Hey, well, love it. Frank, always a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
I look forward to our next discussion.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.